and a great value for the money. Get yours today at Babies R Us, Toys R Us, and other fine retailers.
You've had an accident, and the guy's bloodthirsty lawyer wants to sue you. How would you protect yourself? Call 1-800-SAFE-AUTO for affordable liability insurance. Drive safe, spend less.
Thanks, Frank. You know who I miss? Ernest P. Worrell. And he's the guy who said, "Hey, Vern. Hey, Vern. Heat pump, schmeat pump." I miss that guy. Because I like the way when he'd say, "It's pumping in the winter. It's pumping in. I'm pumping his little guts out." I don't know. It made me realize, I guess, how hard a heating and cooling system has to work. And it has to work even harder if it's not maintained properly. Then it's not going to be as efficient. Your utility bills are going to be higher. On and on. There's nothing good about it. So here's the deal. Matheny Heating and Cooling. Oh, now, in 2013, they've entered their 71st year in business. If you want to see how it was that they were able to make it 71 years and continue to grow and grow and grow, then have them do your home or business just once. And my guess is they'll be back again and again and again. And if you are AM and the PM and you're a residential customer, be sure to tell them that, because they want to give you a little reward. 15% off the first service call. Residential, commercial, if you're in St. Louis or St. Charles County, we have your heating and cooling company, Matheny. Matheny Heating and Cooling.
In a world of mundane talk radio, where they speak of nothing but politics and health tips, thank goodness for the large morning show in the afternoon.
Good afternoon, and welcome to St. Louis's only live morning show on in the afternoon on 550 KTRS St. Louis.
Due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can you hear a pitter-pat? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade, but I'm not afraid. This rover,
like the doctor said the day you were born, it's gonna get ugly.
Crossed over, if I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Welcome to the large morning show in the afternoon here on the Big 550 KTRS. Frank and the gang still off on vacation. And Ian has been posting some pictures from Jamaica just to make us feel even more jealous.
That's not fair. At least he's trying.
Temperatures below freezing here in St. Louis. So Frank and Ian and Dan are away. And in the meantime, we get to play. I'm Paul Harris. Tim and Josh are here with me, and some of the other regulars from the show will be along a little bit later on, plus knuckleheads in the news and lots more. But to start things off today, I'm very happy to welcome Paula Poundstone to the show. I've been a fan of her comedy for a long, long time, and my wife and I are really looking forward to seeing her when she comes back to St. Louis to do some stand-up at the Sheldon on February 9th. That's a week from, two weeks from this Saturday. And she's joining us on the phone now. Hi, Paula. How are you?
Hey, good. How are you?
I'm very happy to have you on the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
As I mentioned, I've been a fan of yours for a very long time, and I want to ask if this is possible. Is it possible that I saw you 30 years ago at a comedy club in Boston, either Nick's Comedy Stop or the Comedy Connection?
It is absolutely possible. That's where I started out. And I started out about 33 years ago.
Okay, because I was working in Hartford, Connecticut in the early 80s, and we would go up to Boston whenever we could because Hartford is so boring. So, and we didn't have a comedy club, but they did. And what I've understood since then from talking to people like Dennis Leary and Lenny Clark and others who I guess were contemporaries of yours at the time was that it was a very, very exciting place to do comedy, but also a very tough place to do comedy.
Well, it was. There was a lot of... We were all young and stupid. That was part of it.
Yeah.
But it was. It was a great place. Boston was a terrific place. Lenny Clark sort of set the tone, I think, for what was popular, and because he was from there, and so a lot of his friends came out to see him, and therefore you were playing to an audience that were friends and fans of Lenny Clark, and so there was a certain style that he had. That I think what happened to a lot of people is they sort of patterned themselves after because it would work.
Yeah.
I, however, either didn't do that or didn't do it successfully. And therefore, you know, it was sometimes kind of a rough place to work.
Lenny and I remember a couple of the other comedians who were there that night were very, very aggressive with the audience.
Yes.
And I know on a subsequent visit while I was there, I saw Stephen Wright. He also didn't kind of fit into that aggressive comedy. But you and Stephen both kind of got out of there and made your own way, right?
Yeah, but Stephen flourished when he was there as well. I mean, Steve is so brilliant that he really had a, did he fit that bill stylistically? No, but people, you know, found him and loved him anyways. I would say that I didn't have... quite the same acceptance level as Steve. I ended up taking a Greyhound bus around the country to see what clubs were like in different cities. And, I worked out at a handful of different places along the way. And then I ended up in San Francisco, where I stayed for, a longer period of time. And then I would go back and work in Boston. And eventually, you know, it became a place where I did very well. But I would say in the beginning, it was... it was dicey.
That was also just before the comedy boom hit. You know, now there's a Funny Bone here in St. Louis that's kind of the part of the Funny Bone chain. There are improvs all over the place. For a while, there were Catch a Rising Stars all over the place, and every place had a ha-has or a hoo-hoos or a hee-hees I'm sure you had to work your way through. But at the beginning, when you got on that Greyhound bus, were you going to places where comedy wasn't really quite a mainstream thing yet?
Well, at that time... at that time, not everywhere had lots of clubs. Yeah. There were, you know, handful of places that did, and they weren't generally those, chains, you know.
Yeah.
They weren't the franchised places. So, for example, there was a place in Chicago called Zanies that, it had singers and things like that, and then they started having stand-up comedy. It was a great place to work, mm-hmm. Just a great place to work. And there were a lot of really funny comics in Chicago. Eventually we all got sort of mixed together, you know.
Yeah.
Eventually we all kind of, I have what I refer to as sort of a graduating class, you know, of guys that I worked with everywhere, regardless of where we were, you know, where we were from.
Who would be in that class?
Larry Miller, Dana Carvey, Steve Wright, Jack Gallagher, Jim Tingle, Kevin Pollak.
That's a pretty good class.
It's a pretty good class, yeah. Bob Goldthwait, yeah. A lot of, we had a time of it. I'm glad I was young. because it didn't matter where I slept, you know.
Yeah.
And that was helpful. That was, because some of the logistics were challenging sometimes.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, I slept on Greyhound buses a lot.
Just to get to another gig?
Also, if I was in a place and I didn't have anywhere to stay, I had what was called an AmeriPass, where you could go wherever you wanted for $150 for a month.
Uh-huh.
And so what I would do is I'd go to a city I wanted to be in, and I would at night find a place that was 4 hours away. And I would take the last bus out that went to that place. And then as soon as I got there, I would turn around and get on the other bus coming back the other way. And this way I got my 8 hours.
You learned to sleep seated.
I did. Well, you know, that's the kind of plan you come up with when you're 19, you know.
And now you're on the road almost every weekend.
Yeah.
And I bet you were happy to hear the report last week that the TSA is getting rid of those nearly pornographic backscatter machines.
Well, I was. Although, you know, I'll tell you, Los Angeles was like the first place to have that. And I, you know, the first time I had to go and use that silly, stupid thing, I just went naked. And boy, do they hate that. It's like a power struggle, you know. The guy said, you don't get you naked, we get you naked. They actually, the reason I, you know, the idea that they would, nobody would ever use those images for anything else is just ridiculous,
yeah,
ludicrous.
Right.
But also, I believe they were using more radiation than we should be exposed to,
mm-hmm.
And certainly because I go through the airport, you know, multiple times per weekend, I just started saying I wouldn't go through those things. And then they always go, you're going to get the pat down, like it's some sort of punishment.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I kind of took the same approach, which is they would say, you're going to get the pat down, and I go, I know. Which made them very uncomfortable.
Well, did you ask for the extended pat down, Paula? Is that
yeah,
what you're
yeah. I go, yeah. Do you want it private? No. No, do it right here.
Right here where everybody can see.
Yeah, yeah. I think, yeah, you do good pat down, you're going to have a line behind me.
Maybe we can charge admission here.
You know, I don't know if they've ever stopped anybody from doing anything.
I don't either.
TSA, but it's certainly been a good employment project.
Yeah. You know, when I have gone through those machines, they always say, make sure you don't have anything in your pockets. And, of course, they've just made me take out my license and my boarding pass, and I've had to put those somewhere. And, of course, I usually just put it in my back pocket. And I think to myself, if this technology can't tell the difference between my driver's license and a bomb, what good is it?
Mm. Yeah, I actually lost my license last weekend for the first time.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because because I had taken it out of my pocket for the silly, stupid TSA.
Yeah.
But
and when you have to
listen,
fly all the time.
I dare somebody to pretend to be me. They would crack like a ripe melon. They'd be begging to go back, like Tudor Turtle from the old cartoon. They would be begging to be put back to their regular life if they were me for even a few minutes.
Now, I'm curious about your traveling so much. You're on the road, as I said, virtually every weekend. You've got kids and a whole bunch of cats at home. Are you traveling to get away from them?
Well, you know, there are times where the notion has certainly passed through my head. I'll say, well, I don't have a booking, but I'll see what I can do this weekend. I'll just stand on a corner with a hat in St. Louis. That'll work.
Yeah.
It is a lot, but you know, every now and then I have to remind myself that, it's not like I got knocked up. You know, I adopted my children. I went through a process.
Yep.
There's no accidental adoptions. And and then, you know, as far as the animals go, pretty much the same thing. You know, it's not like I woke up. People always say, oh, we had strays come to the house. No, I went out and got them.
Yes.
And therefore, I created, a life that is complex and busy. And there's sort of a cacophony of noise almost all the time. And I did it on purpose because I like it that way.
Mm-hmm.
There are days where I forget that. There are days where I somehow wake up and feel put upon. but then I have to remind myself that, no, I did this on purpose.
That's all the mouths of different sizes that want food in them.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you. I for the first hour of my morning, I take care of, I'm like a farmer. I'm like a really unprofitable farmer. I don't have to get up quite as early as farmers. And, you know, if you don't milk a cat, they don't get sick.
That's right.
They don't back up on you. So.
Now, while we're speaking of food, you are well known on stage for having discussed Pop-Tarts in the past. And, in fact, I want to play a piece of audio from, I believe it was an HBO special sometime in the 90s.
Could have been.
Okay. When it was one of the many times you've been on stage and people in the audience brought you Pop-Tarts. Let's listen.
I actually eat a box of Pop-Tarts a day. I'm not proud of that. It's the way they packed them. I think you see right here. Look, they have the tart right on the cover with the cross section. So you can see all the rich, tasty goodness right there. Well, I'm only human, for Christ's sakes. And look at this, you guys. Inside, let me just show you. Inside, there are three pouches of two. This is what happened to me. I opened the first pouch and I eat one tart and I enjoy it very much, as naturally I would. And then I feel, well, I have to eat the second one or it will go stale. Well, now I've eaten two and it's no longer just a snack, it's a meal. I figure I may as well eat two more. And I'm finally, I'm just like, well, hell, I don't just want two Pop-Tarts hanging out in a box. I ate the last two just to tidy up, really.
That's Paula Poundstone from a stand-up special she did on HBO in the 90s. And the reason I play that, Paula, is because about 3 or 4 weeks ago, the New York Times was doing a profile of Jerry Seinfeld. And in that profile, they were in his office, and they saw that he had some notes about things that he was working on. And the reporter asked him, what's this? And he said, oh, that's the thing I'm working on about Pop-Tarts. I've been working on it for 2 or 3 years. And I thought to myself, you can't go there. Paula's been there and has done Pop-Tarts over and over and over. You own the rights to the Pop-Tart concept at this point, as far as I'm concerned. Do you mind when somebody else is doing something like that, or when you hear?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. My son got, about a, I don't know, 2 months ago now, my son got an infection that went to his brain.
Ooh.
And, you know, any brain infection jokes are mine now. Any youngest son, you know, life-threatening brain infection.
You own that.
Emergency surgery. That's mine.
Yeah.
I, you know. Yeah. And I, you know, yeah, Pop-Tarts. I was, the Chicago Tribune did a, they did a story about Pop-Tarts 1,000 years ago, and they had a timeline of Pop-Tart history, and my face is on that timeline.
Wow.
I have it laminated hanging on my living room wall.
Have you ever gotten any endorsement money from the Kellogg's people or heard from them?
I have not. They have not needed me, you know, because, you know, the product sells itself.
Yeah.
And so, no, they don't. They don't, you know. You know, I know more about Pop-Tarts than the people who work at Kellogg's do by far.
Well, I don't think any humans have touched Pop-Tarts as much as you have.
I do eat them. I still eat them nearly every day. I take them on the road. I now have, because they changed the packaging, now they have 8 in a box because they didn't know what the hell they were doing. But because you don't have to eat 8. You have
no.
to eat 6 if they're in a box of 6. You don't have to eat 8.
Right.
But they now have these plastic containers that hold, you know, 2 tarts apiece.
Yes.
And I have a lot of those so that they don't break in my bag. And I was going through the TSA, actually. They say Pop-Tart right at the cover of them. They get like fake plastic icing, and it's a plastic. Sorry, a plastic case. I'm going through the TSA. And the guy stops me. He goes, "What is this?" And it says Pop-Tarts right on the cover. I said, "Well, it's Pop-Tarts." And he opens it up and sees it. It's Pop-Tarts. Well, okay, so if I had anything other than Pop-Tarts in there, what was I going to say?
Yeah.
And what's this? I go, oh, Jesus, that's my heroin. Okay. Stop me.
That's my C4. That's the explosion. You found me.
Yeah. How did you do it? You guys are just unbeatable.
Do people still bring you Pop-Tarts at your shows? Will they be doing that when you come here to play the show?
They do still bring me Pop-Tarts at my shows, yes. And I, if it's the right flavor, I eat them.
Uh-huh. What flavor would you not eat?
Well, you know, the brown sugar and cinnamon frosted or the strawberry frosted, but I don't, people, you know, bring the s'mores and things like that. That's an area where Pop-Tarts really didn't know what they were doing.
Uh-huh.
No, it's just, you know.
They went off the rails. They had the perfect breakfast pastry and decided to go experimental.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they had to just push their luck.
It's like the M&Ms where you bite into it and inside is a pretzel instead of the delicious.
Oh, my God, I've had some of those. It was a reprehensible experience.
Yes!
Oh, it was horrible. Yeah, yeah. No, what could they be thinking?
You have the perfect product. Just sell that.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
You are known for interacting with your audience on stage quite a bit. You're improvising stuff with people. There are plenty of other comedians who've gotten on stage and started off with, "Hi, how are you?" And they talk to the audience, and they don't handle it nearly as well as you.
Well, thank you.
You're very welcome. And I'm curious about how your interaction with them in social media is working, because I do follow you on Twitter, at Paula Poundstone. Not that I'm stalking you in any way, but I wonder how social media has affected your relationship with your fans.
Oh, it's great, actually. I like being in touch with the people that come to see me. I also do I sell CDs at my shows, and so I come out and sign afterwards, and I always tell people they don't have to buy something in order to come say hello or take a picture or whatever.
Yep.
Because I like kind of completing that circle. I like knowing who comes to see me. I like knowing, what they do for a living and where they've been, it's very, very nice. And the Twitter thing is certainly, I like thinking of something that I think is funny and posting it a couple of times a day as well. But, I think that the Twitter thing has been a nice addition. Sometimes I feel like a slave to it, but a lot of times it's just a nice addition.
Has that been helpful in you conceiving concepts for what is eventually going to end up on stage?
No. It really hasn't. It's odd how it hasn't.
I asked that question in the hopes that, okay, here we go. Here's an example coming up. Paula's going to tell us something she tweeted, and then it became a 10-minute bit on stage, but no.
No, it really, there's something about, narrowing stuff to that 140 character thing,
yeah,
that, it kind of, that's where it lives and dies.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you. There are a couple of seats still available for Saturday, February 9th at the Sheldon here in St. Louis to see the great Paula Poundstone in person. And, of course, she also appears on another radio show, a certain quiz thing that NPR does every weekend. Wait. Don't tell me. And regular panelists there, and always terrific on that. It's a pleasure having a conversation with you here today. I look forward to seeing you.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. Paula Poundstone here with Paul Harris on the Big 550 KTRS.
As far as the highways, everything is just now starting to get going. We've got a little bit of volume on westbound 64 between Hampton and McCausland. Looks like we've got a stall on eastbound 270 after 367. Also a stall on westbound 44 after Grand. Southbound 270 is very light right now from Highway 64 down through Doherty Ferry, and northbound 170 looks like it's starting to fill in a little bit between 70 and Scudder Road. And this traffic report is brought to you by Robitussin. Control your cough with Robitussin, the number one doctor-recommended adult cough medicine brand. Don't suffer the coughiquences. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Desk, I'm Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
You've had an accident, and the guy's bloodthirsty lawyer wants to sue you. How would you protect yourself? Call 1-800-SAFE-AUTO for affordable liability insurance. Drive safe, spend less.
Coming up on McGraw in the Morning.
Join us Thursday morning. We'll talk to Michael Hastings, has written the definitive book, An Insider's Account to the Obama Campaign, plus Joe Manis with a little political look around town and all the traffic, weather, and sports you need. Join us Thursday morning.
McGraw in the Morning, weekdays from 6 to 10 on the Big 550 KTRS.
What are you waiting for? Mortgage rates to go lower than 2.75? Don't miss this opportunity. Find out how much money you could be saving before it ends.
This is Bob Ellman at Golden Oak Lending. It's as easy as picking up the phone and answering a few simple questions. And in about 10 minutes, you'll know just how low your mortgage payment could be. Call 314-567-GOLD.
Golden Oak has fixed mortgage rates of 2.75%. That means real monthly savings. Call 314-567-GOLD. That's 567-4653.
We do all the work. We'll get you closed in 30 days, and some programs don't even require an appraisal.
Take 10 minutes. Call 314-567-GOLD and lower your rate to 2.75.
Golden Oak Lending, join my blues.
NMLS 1149.37, 15-year fixed rate, APR 3.588, FHA 10% equity with qualified credit. Call 314-567-GOLD.
Planning a trip? Planning a family vacation? How about corporate travel? Look no further than Altair Travel and Cruises. They've booked us once again on a trip of a lifetime down the Danube River. We'll be taking a bunch of KTRS listeners come July. But for you, how about joining us on a spring training trip down to Jupiter, Florida to check out the Cardinals? Maybe you're planning a family trip of your own. Maybe you have some corporate travel in the future. You can go online and try and book all these things yourself. Good luck to you. It's going to cost you more money. It's going to cost you more aggravation, and you're not going to have a good time. Or you can call Altair Travel at 314-968-9600. They will make sure you have a great time. They'll take care of everything. All you have to worry about is how much fun you're going to have. They're next to O.B. Clark's on Brentwood Boulevard, 314-968-9600 or altairtravel.com. For all of your travel arrangements, there's one company, Altair Travel and Cruises.
Hey, St. Louis, looking for the best deal on your next Frigidaire appliance? Well, how about giving Appliance Discounters a try? We are the fastest growing appliance company in the Midwest, and we're located right here in St. Louis with four great showrooms. My name is Denise Bradley. My brother, Tony Slyman, and I have been in the appliance business for over 30 years. Since 2009, we have grown from one location in Webster Groves to St. Charles, Arnold, and the newest location in Baldwin. Why should you choose Appliance Discounters? Well, it's simple. We buy truckloads of Frigidaire appliances direct from the factory and pass the savings on to you. We can save you hundreds of dollars on your next appliance purchase. Factory closeouts, slightly blemished, or in-box items. Always brand new with a full factory warranty. And now at Appliance Discounters, you can receive up to $1,000 in cash rebates on selected appliances. Great savings, hometown buying. Appliance Discounters is a place to go for your next appliance. Visit any of our locations, Webster Grove, St. Charles, Arnold, or our newest location in Baldwin, and visit us online at theappliancediscounters.com.
Hope Chapel has been providing compassionate and professional funeral services for over 110 years. In their fourth generation of independent service, Hope Chapel continues to be a source of stability and comfort for countless families in the St. Louis area.
Hi, I'm Christy Bope, and I'm proud to be part of the fourth generation of the Hope Chapel family. As a family business, we know how to best serve your family in your time of need.
I'm Scott Humes, and I'm also a proud member of the fourth generation of the Hope Chapel family. We offer pre-planning, out-of-town arrangements, and special services all handled with support and careful attention to your family's specific needs and wants.
I'm Chip Overt, another member of the fourth generation of the Bope Chapel family. We're proud of our recently completed expansion where we can handle the largest of crowds while still accommodating small, intimate funerals as well as cremation services.
When you need them, Bope Chapel is there for you and your family. At your time of need, call 314-965-7680 or visit them at BopeChapel.com. Bope Chapel, a family tradition since 1902.
Hey, looking at your windows, wishing they would work, but you can't afford to have your windows or patio door replaced right now? Call Genesco Window Products. They have the parts and expertise to repair most brands of windows and patio doors. And you can save by bringing in a sample of the part you need, and they will try to match it with a new one. Call them at 314-567-9175. That's 314-567-9175. Or go to their website at GenescoWindowProducts.com.
Love hardwood? Get it for up to 59% less at Lumber Liquidators Hardwood Flooring Sale. Bellawood prefinished Brazilian hardwood is up to 47% less. Prefinished birch, just $169 a square foot. Our best laminates are 20% off our already incredibly low prices. Plus, get special extended financing. Don't miss out. These unheard-of deals are available only while supplies last. Get ready. Hardwood flooring sale starts Thursday. Visit LumberLiquidators.com and find your local store today.
This is the Large Morning Show in the afternoon, vacation edition. On the Big 550 KTRS, Frank and Ian and Dan are off in Jamaica with several dozen AM and the PMers, listeners of this show. I am Paul Harris. Proud to have the headphones on. Thanks for listening. You can follow me on Twitter, at Paul Harris Show. Tim Weiland and Josh Gilbert are here with me. Yesterday at this time, I was talking with Alan Zweibel, who was one of the original writers on Saturday Night Live and whose book that he wrote with Dave Barry, Lunatics, has now come out in paperback and is going to be made into a movie starring, oh, I just forgot.
Steve Carell.
Steve Carell. Thank you very much.
Wow.
You know, when I started the sentence, I knew Steve Carell. When I got to the end of the sentence, Steve Carell wasn't there. Hate that. So in our conversation yesterday, I asked him about this controversy in the last couple of months about some of the cancer centers around the country that have been named after Gilda Radner, who, of course, died of cancer, the great Saturday Night Live comedian. And Alan, being a very, very close friend of hers and co-writer with her and helped create Roseanne, Rosanna Dana, and her Broadway show, and many of the characters that she did on SNL, he was infuriated at some of these places considering changing the name to just something generic like Cancer Support Community instead of keeping it as Gilda's Club. The rationale given by some of the people who ran these places was, well, young people today don't know who Gilda Radner is. And as Alan pointed out on this show yesterday, well, you teach them who she is, and maybe if you let them watch some of her work, which is available on Hulu, as all the old SNL stuff is, you know, here are kids with cancer, they can laugh. Enjoy that. Well, I'm happy to tell you here today that this morning, Gilda's Club in Madison, Wisconsin, announced they are not changing the name to Cancer Support Community Southwest Wisconsin. They are going to keep it as Gilda's Club, and we hope that that is the case for some of the other two dozen of those across the country, because she not only deserves the honor, but she will serve as inspiration to young or old people who are suffering with that horrible disease. Now, a couple of other things here. Frank, when he's here, usually does something called the Burke segment, which is anybody on the show who has a story or pet peeve or whatever they want to express, they can go ahead and do that. And Josh, who has already been on this radio station for 5 hours today, because he is on with Steve Cochran on his 10 to noon show, and Martin Kilcoyne from noon to three. I guess now that Randy's there, you get squeezed out. Is that the problem?
Yeah, no, I get to take like an hour.
That yes was the true answer, wasn't it, Jim?
Yeah, well, yes.
It was
okay. Yes.
So you have something that's bothering you?
I do.
I have a couple minutes here. Go ahead.
I've got two things. First of all,
well, I didn't say two things.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll keep them both short. So I went to the store yesterday to buy socks, Paul.
Okay.
And I go up and I look at the socks and I say, well, I think these are my size, but I look on, it says for sizes 6 to 12, Paul.
Wow.
Like your shoe size is either 6, or if your shoe size is 12 or somewhere in between, these socks are for you.
Okay. There must be some sort of stretch kind of socks, I guess.
Well, not really, because I'm a 10 and a half on a good day.
Braggart.
And I pull one of these socks out because, you know, they let you do that if they're not looking.
You didn't try on socks at the store, did you?
I did.
No.
Because
you're not allowed to try on socks.
But have you ever gotten socks and taken them home and, like, the heel part is halfway up your calf?
No.
Just because... No.
So is this like the first time you went out and bought your own socks?
That sounds
like
it.
I normally get them for Christmas.
Really? Okay. Well, I can get that, but I mean, you know, you go out when you buy shoes,
whoa,
or always
whoa,
when you want to buy white socks.
Whoa, 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 you can get that?
Well, I can.
You just endorsed socks
as a good Christmas present.
That's what you just did. You just made it sound like, well, that's, of course, reasonable.
I'm
here to tell the world, socks as a Christmas present suck.
No, I understand. No, you're right, but I understand if he gets them for Christmas and he's not been out shopping for them, that he's not familiar with. That's how the sizes come.
Are you 14 years old?
No.
How is it possible that as an adult man living on your own, you've never purchased socks for yourself?
Because I get them every year.
How many socks do you get for Christmas?
A good load. A good portion.
Like two dozen?
Yeah. About six. Six socks a year. You know? And the ones I'm wearing right now, I have holes in them, Paul. This is why I'm going sock shopping for the first time.
Like Al Bundy.
How many socks did you buy? I'm curious.
I bought three pair. It was a pack.
Wow,
yeah.
I ask because when I go and I buy socks, and I wear sneakers every day, and I wear white socks every day under them. And when I go buy socks, it's like, okay, we're replacing the inventory.
Yes, I've got 20 pairs of socks, and I go buy another 20 to get rid of the other 20.
I've got at least two dozen pair of white socks, all the same size.
Yes, yes.
And I can tell you that my size is 10 to 13 because I have a size 12 foot. Not to brag.
No, right.
You know what they say about men with big feet?
Mm-hmm.
They have to buy the bigger socks. That's what they say. So when I do it, it's out with the old, in with the new, and that's like maybe once a year.
Yes. I'm the same way, Paul. The exact same way. And you go and you go to one of the stores and you go to the section. You can either get the crew socks or you could get whatever, and you buy a package of eight.
Yeah.
and then you buy about four packages of eight.
Right.
And then you go home and you, because
I think you're like me. You've never had to stand there and go, I don't like this one. I don't like that
one. I'm horrible because I wear my socks as slippers, and whether I go outside with them. So my socks, I go through socks pretty regularly.
Yeah.
So, but that's how I do it. I replace 24 with 24.
Yeah.
But normally I have these little ankle socks that I wear, and those are normally pretty stretchy. But it's so gosh darn cold outside right now, Paul, that I had to go out and buy actual big, regular
big
socks.
Big boy socks.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they never fit right. Because I can't get the like 6 to 9, because then they're going to be too small. But if I get the 10 to 12, then they're going to be way too big.
Here's the other thing about socks. Name a brand of socks. I mean, when you go to the store, are you looking for a particular brand?
It's usually the store brand.
Whatever
and
it is.
Just like
gold toe. It's like milk.
Yeah.
When I go to the grocery store, I'm not looking for, I like a particular kind of orange juice. I like Tropicana, no pulp, original orange juice. When I go to the store, that's the OJ I'm getting. I'm not getting the Minute Maid or
Pure Brand.
I'm not getting any of those. I'm always going to get that. But when I go to the store, doesn't matter what store I'm going to, I'm buying milk.
Yes.
Generic milk. And to me, socks are the same way. I couldn't name. Well, I guess Hanes is an underwear
brand. There you go.
Do they even make socks? I don't know.
Well, they do. Yeah, Hanes, they make gold toe socks.
Those are the ones I have.
Those are the good ones. But it's funny you should bring up milk, because later in that shopping trip, I go over to the milk section.
Uh-huh.
And I see something on the shelf there, and just tell me what this is. Almond milk.
Oh.
Whoa.
Oh,
What is almond milk?
Well, I'm glad you brought this up. My daughter doesn't drink milk from an animal. She's a vegetarian, and she won't drink cow's milk or, goat's milk or sheep's milk or
whatever.
The cat milk.
Cat milk that
Ben Stiller did for Robert De Niro. And which Paula Poundstone could probably do for us. She drinks soy milk.
Soy milk.
Okay, now soy is a bean, and almond is a nut.
Yes.
Neither of these produce milk. Neither of these are mammals that have teats in any way that can create any sort of milk.
This is why I'm confused about this.
I don't think it should be called milk.
Well, what is it?
I think it's kind of like coffee. Because if you think about what coffee is a bean that you pour hot water over, and the hot water takes on the color and the taste of those beans as it percolates, right?
Yes.
I don't drink coffee, but that's how my understanding of it works. And I think the same must be true of almond milk and soy milk. It's somebody took water and poured it over a whole bunch of nuts or beans and said, hey, look, milk, but it ain't milk.
I find it interesting that you can take soy and make plastics.
Yes.
And fibers and different things like that, and now they make it into a milk. Have you tasted the soy milk?
It's disgusting.
Yes.
That's what I've heard. I've never tasted it, but everyone has said no.
But then again, I'm a regular milk drinker, so I'm just not used to it. Other people may enjoy it. I'm not putting anybody down for enjoying soy milk, but I'm with you, Josh. Should not be called milk.
Right.
If I bought that almond milk and poured it out, would it be white? Is it white? Does it look like milk? What is it made of?
Yeah, no, it looks like milk.
Are they taking a bunch of almonds and, like, squeezing them like fruit?
If you squeeze them, you don't get milk. Milk doesn't come out of them.
You get oil.
See, I don't get this. You get oil, and then what happens? I'm so confused. Because have you ever tried to make, like, homemade orange juice?
Yes.
And you, like, squeeze the orange and just a little bit comes out?
Yes. Anybody who thinks one orange is going to give them a sufficient quantity to fill a cup has never done it before.
How many almonds does it take to make a whole...
That's a very good question.
...carton of almonds?
You know what? We have the world's most intelligent audience, 969-KTRS, 1-888-550-KTRS, cell phone *KTRS. We could be completely wrong on this. But perhaps, maybe there's a Blue Diamond employee listening.
So Paul thinks you make almond milk by pouring water over
that
I guess, shelled almonds.
Where else does the liquid come from?
I don't know.
I'll bet anybody any way that they squeeze it down, they get the oil out of it, and they add something to it and
water.
It does have to be water, but. I don't know.
Now, I know. You know what? Somebody's going to call up and say, well, peanut butter is not really butter. But it is the same consistency of that. And
Well, somebody's calling. Let me get the phone here quick.
While he's doing that, I have my own little pet peeve for today.
Okay.
Last couple of days, I've stopped off and gotten lunch on the way in to do the show. And I get a sandwich or a little burrito or something, and I bring it in, and I sit here at this very counter, and I eat it. And I get a cup of soda, and, of course, I got to get a straw.
Mm-hmm.
The two places I've gone the last 2 days have the plastic straw wrappers. And for some reason, I cannot get the straw out of those wrappers. Have you ever had this problem where you take the straw and we all know how the technique of getting the straw out of the wrapper. You take it, you put it, tap it on its end on the table.
Yeah.
And the top of the straw goes through the top of the packaging. You then bite that part with your teeth. You pull the rest of the wrapper off, and then you insert the straw in your fine beverage through its plastic top.
Right. Okay. Correct.
I can't get the straws to come out of the plastic. I know that sounds like a euphemism, ladies, but that's not what I mean.
Are they like sealing these wrappers?
I don't know.
New?
I don't know. Today, I happen to get lunch from a place that puts them in a paper wrapper, and one tap, boop, through, we're done, over and over. But not only that, but yesterday, when I got it at one of these plastic straw wrapper places, here's how frustrated I was. I eventually was taking it and banging it on the table. And what happens, of course? The straw breaks in a little bit. It bends, but it bends in a way that creates that tiny little hole.
Yeah.
So when you finally do get it out of there, you put it in the straw and you... And nothing's coming up!
Only you could make a radio show about that. And it's so true because it happens all the time.
Randall, you're on the Big 550. Hello.
Hey, I was calling you about your almond milk.
Okay.
I used to drink soy milk. Neither one of them is very good if you just drink it like regular milk, a glass of white milk.
What is it? What's it made of?
I'm sure it's made of almonds. I don't know how they make it, but if you put it in a smoothie or a bowl of cereal, I like it better than regular milk. I can't drink regular milk anymore either.
But you have no idea what you're actually drinking.
No, I don't. But I know it's not doesn't have lactose, which I can't drink anymore. So
I know a lot of people who are lactose intolerant do drink that. All right, Randall, I'm glad you called. Thanks.
Thank you,
Paul. You're on the Big 550. Hello.
Oh, Paul, on the new straws with the new plastic packaging.
Yes.
They cut the opening off so that way it makes it easier for you to get in.
Not on the places that I go to. Now here's the other part of this. I have been in restaurants where you order a soda or a beverage that comes with a straw, and they bring it to you, and the straw is in there, but the top half of it still has the little paper wrapper on it.
Yeah.
That's to make you feel like no human being has touched your straw. We didn't get our cooties on your straw.
It's clean.
Yeah, here's the lie. They opened it up and touched the other end. Do they have a machine in the back that does that?
No, but yeah, the new ones, they cut the opening off.
I've not seen that yet.
I have not seen those
either. But God bless the people who created that, Paul. Thank you very much.
Bye.
We got a break. We're back in a moment here. It's the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. Paul Harris on the Big 550 KTRS.
Okay, traffic. We're starting to get pretty slow now. If you're traveling on ESR westbound 70 between the Earth City Expressway and the Blanchette Bridge, southbound 270 picking up more volume between Manchester and Doherty Ferry. You're slow on westbound 64 Hampton through McCausland. Eastbound 64 looks good to the Poplar Street Bridge. A little slow on northbound 55 in that right lane from Park up to the Poplar. And this traffic report brought to you by Advil Congestion Relief. When colds hurt, try Advil Congestion Relief. Tough on pain, tough on colds. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Desk, I'm Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Target Talk St. Louis, every Sunday from 6 to 7:30 p.m., is presented by Metro Shooting Supplies in Belleville and Bridgeton. Join host Stephen King as he discusses the world of firearms, from competitions to firearm safety.
Do you know somebody suffering from alcohol or drug dependency? Maybe you are. Maybe you failed numerous times at a rehab facility. Now it's time to try something totally different. I'm talking about my friends at ARCA, the Assisted Recovery Centers of America. They use a drug that you've probably never heard of. It's called naltrexone, and it's a non-addictive anti-craving medication. Let me say that again. It will block the cravings. and it is non-addictive. So therefore, you can be treated at Arca and go back to work within 24 to 48 hours. It's a miracle drug, and people don't know about it, and people won't tell you about it. Unless you hear it from here or hear it from Arca, you might not know about it. Arca, 314-645-6840. The people who have gone through the treatment say it is amazing. Call and ask Arca about naltrexone. 314-645-6840 to find out more. ArcaMidwest.com. But you've tried the others. Now try Arca. 314-645-6840 or ArcaMidwest.com.
Move forward, so does the rest of the economy. CSX trains are the most cost-efficient way to move goods to market. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
St. Louis, this is the roofer for Lane House Construction. Are you leaking energy from your windows, or maybe your siding needs replaced? Please remember, Lane House Construction is your local source for roofing, siding, windows, and gutters. Call today for your free estimate, 866-546-ROOF.
Call Dalco Home Remodeling at 314-298-7300. If you buy from someone else and find out how much you could have saved on windows, roofing, and siding, you'll blow your stack.
Hi there, it's Frank O'Pinion. One day on the show, we made a list of all the things you should try to see before you die, like a bucket list. Because you got to see the Grand Canyon. Everybody should see Las Vegas. You should go to Rocky Mountains, Colorado. You should see the ocean. You should see New York City. Well, if you make a list of stores you absolutely have to visit and walk into in St. Louis, if not at the top of the list, toward the top, Amini's. That's right, Amini's in Chesterfield Valley under the Copper Dome, because there is no other store like it. Yes, there are some other stores that might have some of the things that Amini's has, but this is a most unusual, interesting, fun place to shop, and practical place to shop, and, surprisingly to many people, affordable place to shop. Certainly, if you want to spend $30,000 for a pool table, Amini's has that pool table. You want to spend $1,500? They have that pool table, too. 60 different pool tables. They have foosball. They have shuffleboard. They have pinball. They have home theater furniture. They have accent pieces and patio furniture and a Jaffe lighting department. You get the idea? Don't go in there and only give yourself 5 minutes. You're cheating yourself. Go into Amini's and walk the place. It is flat-out fun. Amini's, nothing like it. A-M-I-N-I-S. Chesterfield Valley, the Boone's Crossing exit off Highway 40 or 64, if you prefer to call it that. Amini's.com.